Welcome to the Amazing Data Podcast. So hello, everybody. Welcome back to the new episode of our data-driven... I did not write the welcome in text, but I do believe that in the world we're living, it's not going to be a problem anymore. There's supposed to be something that would be able to prepare the task, which is so close to the human-like speech that Ksenia won't have this kind of problems anymore. And this is the topic of our today's episode. We're going to talk about the natural language programming. How is that happening? And where is it going to lead us in the future? So today, I'm happy to have an expert in this field, Audrey. Hello. Could you please let us know more about you?
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for having me. So my name is Audrey Douet. I was raised and I studied in Paris, France. I came to Silicon Valley on vacation, and from that vacation, I never left. I am actually fulfilling my addiction to apply pioneering technology to improve our daily lives. To do so, I've been focusing on productization of cutting edge technology. And for the last 8 years, focusing more on machine learning and natural language processing. So what I've been doing was creating conversational AI agents or assistant in the automobile, finance, insurance, retail, and robotics industries.
How these technologies are even, you know, like invented? What was the point when people in terms of their work were like, okay, we don't want to talk anymore. We don't want to write anymore. So let's prepare something that would be doing that instead of us. And especially in those industries that you've mentioned, they seem to be very, you know, like highly technological already. Why do they even need this, the last human input to be taken out of it? How did all of this started?
So I think the answer to that is over many of my customers, everything was about improving the life of their employees. They had a lot of people answering the phone all day long that were actually repeating the same thing and going on script, and they were having issues to keep those people engaged and motivated. So we were trying to find ways to actually take the low value task away from them so they could actually really focus on the relationship with their customers and no longer repeating the same thing all day. So I think, it was trying to make the lives of those people better that actually drove them to jump and try to figure out some solution. So it came from a very nice place.
Interesting. It's interesting that you actually mentioned that it was more about making a more personalized experience and be more oriented onto the customers instead of, you know, repeating the same phrases. But I am probably not the most technical savvy person you would meet around you, because every time I need some consultancy and I dial the call center, I want to talk to a human because all of these, you know, automated menus and options and press this button, press this button are just so frustrating that please give me the human operator so I would be talking to a human. So the question here is, wouldn't that, you know, like, there is a saying in Russian, I do not really know how to translate that directly, but good intentions actually lead you to hell. So isn't that kind of situation that a good intention of being more customer oriented, providing a better service, actually drives people away from your product because they have to deal with these stupid machines, which are just so irritating?
Yes, I hear you. And I completely agree. I'm one of your first user that can't stand dialing and pressing buttons on comments. So I completely understand. So this is what we were trying to bypass, actually. Any AI assistant on the phone is supposed to be able to give you very simple answers about very simple questions. So that would be the first tier of questions that human agents wouldn't have to answer. Taking all that away was one objective, the repetitive task and everything. So what we actually are trying to do when we go to production is create a machine that understand, well, what is inappropriate, but also understand when it does not help the customer. meaning when the customer is starting to get frustrated, when the customer is trying to repeat things. When there is many ways to for the machine to actually understand that it's not helping and can trigger actually and forward the call to a human being that will be helpful. So you have actually the best of both worlds. You have an AI assistant that can take away a lot of repetitive tasks for a customer service specialist and be very quick and fast for the customer, so everybody's happy. And a machine that also knows when, okay, I'm not helpful and I'm going to forward to a human right now.
Would my model be, you know, kind of language specific? So for example, if I'm training that in Russian, would that work, the same algorithm, would that work if I feed it English? Or is it very specific, you know, like case by case, I would have to rewrite it or create a new one?
Yes, that's a great question, actually. Experience I had was a machine would be trained on a language and we tried to do some translation and that did not work. The structure of languages and everything is so different that, yes, you would have to train actually the machine on each language. There are very few topics where you can actually go from one language to another and have the same comprehension and especially the same algorithm behind it. I think, you know, one of the NLP goal and maybe the growl here about translation is to actually neutralize languages. It's to create what we would call a universal language that every single language can be translated automatically and immediately. You can actually have 10 person from with 10 languages, different languages, you chat with them and that sentence is immediately translated and makes sense in every single language. So this is the type of applications that are starting to work from the training, the perspective of training of the machine, being able to train it in the language right now in the language that you are targeting is actually the best accuracy you can get.
You probably remember I mentioned that to you earlier that there's the rebooted British TV show existing out there, which is called Doctor Who. And there is the machine, the time traveling machine, which actually requires this particular set of skills. So whatever language is being spoken around it, it can be translated into English. So it's also, you know, like very weird and confusing and exciting at the same time to see how something straight from the sci-fi actually finds its real life implementation. Yeah, I realize that many years after, but anyway.
It is. And that's very often the reason why I say, you know, I don't really want to give you a roadmap because, you know, Hollywood and any other, you know, sci-fi producer or writers actually came up with that roadmap.
I kind of hope that in terms of this process, this educational, let's call it this way, process, there's always the limitation of the algorithm's capabilities. Basically, because I love this situation, a couple of years ago, there were two algorithms which were left alone with each other, and they actually got along with each other way better with the auto world.
Yeah.
So they didn't need anybody else. So I was actually trying to understand, is there a limit up to which the product which we are creating is allowed to be left alone, after which it needs a constant human attention to not make something worse or bad or, you know, like harmful in terms of the client services?
In putting data in a machine, an algorithm will evolve based on what it's fed. I think we have to be ready to not understand and not agree and not approve of the output, right? Whatever the machine is processing, whatever the algorithms are processing and giving us as an output, we have to be ready for, I believe, supervising the output. So is it cut and dry? No, it's never cut and dry. Plus, you know, when I'm talking about those agents, they can be voice agent or text agent. So there is many many techniques to understand if something is inappropriate or the tone is getting a little tense. When it comes to developing the solution and putting them in a customer service, we need to absolutely control the message. Those AI agents become a representative of a brand, right? So they can be representing a bank or an insurance. And trust me, they deal with a lot of very unhappy customers or very dramatic situation, right? So that sensitivity needs to be applied. And so what we do is actually not having a learning machine in production. It is something that is fixed, that has been approved and supervised, right? And it will answer everything the way it was trained for. And on the side, we do a whole learning environment. So it's like, you know, development environment, testing environment, and production environment. Well, when it comes to conversational AI agent, we have to create also the learning environment. And that learning environment is something that, yes, you want to supervise, you want to look at the output and see if it's if it makes sense and if it's the tone you're looking for into putting into your AI agent persona.
Generically speaking, isn't all this development of the whole process is actually aimed onto letting those algorithms do their creative job on their own, you know, not to be supervised. And, you know, here is something for you, like the hint or idea, and go prepare something amazing. One of the things is that I'm not sure whether you read or not the book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Absolutely, 42.
Exactly, yeah. So it was, you know, like the answer to the ultimate question of life, universe, everything. It was, you know, like a heavy thing, and it was the creative thing at the very end, and it has given the answer. So isn't that, you know, like the end usage of the AI algorithms and the usage of these approaches?
Yes, I truly believe that AI is here to surprise us in many, many beautiful ways by letting it learn from content that we're providing it and coming up with their own answer. I'm thinking about fields like medicine. I'm thinking about fields like climate change. We are, it's the beginning of the beginning, and we are in the age where, yes, it will be great to have, you know, a third eye, and that eye has a lot of data to deal with that we are not able to process and comes out with an answer. And I think it will be great for us human to actually, and you know, look at that answer and try to understand it, because there must be a reason why that answer is here. So 42, right?
Right, exactly.
And I think it will help us look at things a different way, and that different way will bring solutions that we haven't thought of. So I'm putting a lot of hope in the future for this type of collaboration with the machine.
Throughout this development of the product itself, do you actually improve algorithms through, you know, like kind of increasing, that might sound a little bit weird, but through increasing the ethics level of the algorithm? Like when the algorithm understands that the customer is irritated or that the one was offended and it's better to, you know, pass the turn to a human operator, or is it just, you know, like a dry science, follow this word, then trigger this action, or follow this consequence of words, then trigger this thing. So I do realize that probably it's not, you know, like the right way to try and humanize this kind of assistance, but I want to.
Yes, you're stepping into one of my favorite subjects. Can we give a conscience to a machine? To be in NLP, you have to believe that language is very important and words are very important. And I actually will go to the point to say, I believe we are a sack of words or bag of words, right? It's a technical term, but I think it's very good to describe who we are. We spend our life talking, writing, expressing things. And if you were to actually input that into a machine, right, is there life after life thanks to a machine? I believe so. I truly believe so. What we are living in this world is knowledge. And if a machine can synthesize that, then maybe, yes, you'll be able to go to a cemetery and start chatting with that person through a machine. Why not? That could be a future. And at one point, you will have to really remind yourself, where is reality, right?
I loved how you said that we're supposed to stick to the realities that we are and understand the borders of it. You know that we always play a little game with our guests.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So for you today, the task will be, it's not a surprise that AI is widely used to prepare the texts, the articles, or whatever writings. So I would like to read you a couple of tweets.
Oh.
And for you to try to figure out who that was written by, a person or the algorithm.
Are you making me pass the Turing test?
Well, I kind of believe that you're human, but who knows?
Who knows after all? You're right.
We are going to have 1 minute. I will be reading you out the text. Tell me the author and how you figured that out.
Okay, well, let's try. Let's give it a try. That's interesting.
So, ready?
Let's try.
Okay, first one. I've never been in shape, but one day I hope to come visit.
That's a machine. There is actually multiple context and multiple intent behind it. So I would, it's not just because it doesn't make sense. It's just two very different contexts and two answers to different contexts.
That is a machine. Correct. Next one. My personality test results came back. They're negative.
I would say AI. There is a jump in the answer. It's missing one piece. So I'm thinking it's a machine.
Well, it turned out to be a human named Erica.
Wonderful. Okay, go for it. Another one.
Okay. Caffeine doesn't do it anymore. I need someone to text me. We need to talk.
AI. Because I feel that it's very human-like, but not human. I could say it, but it takes quite a bit of creativity.
Well, it is a human. That's a man called Ryan.
Here you go. Thank you, Ryan.
Okay. Yay. That's it. Good job.
Well, you did fantastic. It definitely fooled me. I don't know about the audience, but I it doesn't see, this is the thing, is that when it comes to NLP, there is no expert. But thank you very much for that game. I loved it.
Okay, so thank you very much for joining in. It's very interesting to see, you know, the core of the technology, aside from all the myths and misconceptions which are all around it. So thank you very much for a clear vision and explanation how that actually works, what this technology is already doing to the world, and what great and amazing outcomes are still there yet to come. So thank you very much for that kind of insight.
Well, thank you very much for those questions, and thank you very much for this show. This is, I think, extremely important, and you're doing a great job to make it accessible to a lot of people. So kudos to you.
Oh, thank you.
And thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye. This has been another episode of L'Amazing Data Podcast. My name is Ksenia. Stay tuned for more awesome stories about data, and have a great day.